There's some psychos out there walking amongst us that don't think we should have weekends at all. There's a recent poll that was done. Now, this was Americans, but it found that 1 in 16 people don't think you should get a weekend. 10,000 people were asked how many work days there should be in a standard work week. There's been a lot of talk lately about going from a 5-day to a 4-day work week, right? Mm-hmm. So you get even more weekend. And a lot of people are saying they'd be behind that. But surprisingly, 6% of people say that we should be working 7 days a week.
That's who are these people? That percentage of people, they must be the people who are on Instagram going, I hustle and grind every day. I wake up grinding. Because who really works 7 days a week?
And if it was a 7-day work week, does that mean it's still 40 hours, so you're only working like 5.5 hours?
Nah, dude.
A day? Or are you working 8 hours a day or 12 hours
a day?
Yeah, I never stop grinding.
I don't even sleep, dude.
Got side hustles on top of my side hustles. That sounds terrible.
Yeah. That person's a psycho. I can't believe the percentage is that high. There must have been some sort of convention in town where they're doing that poll. I don't know.
Or they hate their families.
That must be 6% of people.
6% of people also hate their families. Yes. There, that lines up.
Or rent is so expensive they can't not work. They have to.
Yeah, that just makes it sad.
Oh, the hating your family was happy.
You kind of got yourself into that situation, so it's your fault. Right? I like the 4-day idea.
I don't. It seems impossible.
1 in 8 people think a 4-day work week would make people less productive. And most agreed it would be good for mental health if you only had to work 4 days.
Yes, but then so would 3 days. Like, how far down are we going?
Seems to be one of those things we're going to talk about forever. Just like getting rid of daylight savings time, and it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, we should go to a 4-day work week. Great idea. Anyways, get to work.
This is how I picture it. Like, the government can work for 4 days, like, because they don't have to meet a level of productivity like a factory would, you know what I mean?
Right.
But eventually, they're going to knock it down to a 3-day work week, and then they'll cut your pay and say, what do we need to pay you full-time for? You're just working 3 days a week.
Uh-huh.
That's how I picture it's going to go.
Yeah. Someone's got to get the job done. We'll get back into the music here in minutes. Enjoy your weekend, unless you're one of those 6% of people that doesn't think you should have a weekend. We were talking about this earlier in the show. 6% of people in a recent poll said that they think that the work week should be 7 days. Forget this 4-day stuff. Forget less. Let's work more. We got a number of messages here. That must have been management.
Yeah, definitely. They only interviewed Jeff Bezos and Lex Luthor.
7-day work week. Morning, guys. You were talking about a 4-day work week. How about we start with an actual 40-hour work week? My boss makes me work 44 hours every week because the ESA says overtime pay is only mandatory after 44. The extra hour a day didn't faze me when I was young, but when you have kids, it's definitely lame. It's lame when you don't have kids, too.
It's lame unless you're getting paid by the hour.
Yeah.
Then it's fine.
You're getting overtime. If you don't have kids, make money while you can, right? If you've got extra free time. That's why you see people taking jobs away from home to make some big cash while they're young.
Mm-hmm. And 44 hours isn't a crazy ask. It's a pretty standard work week.
Yeah. How many hours would you say we work a work
16?
Week? 16. That's not true. My wife says, oh, you're only on the radio for 4 hours a day. I'm like, yeah, well, we do stuff before the show. We do stuff after. I always pad the stats a little bit. I'm like, when we're out in public, we're Taz and Jim. We're working.
We're always on.
We're always looking for new material.
Yeah. And when I'm in the McDonald's drive-thru, I'm looking for inspiration. Oh, I'm going to talk about this. I'm always working.
Right. We're collecting information and show ideas.
And when we go to the pub at 11:30 and have 4 beers, we're brainstorming.
Yes.
That's work.
Uh-huh.
And when
I
we
tell
go
my
to
wife, I've got to go to a work thing with Jim.
And when we go to a concert, that's work.
That's work, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? 7-day work week it is. If everyone was as hardworking as we are, the world would be a better place.
We're working 90 hours a week.
I want to see your peacock, got, got, your peacock.
I want to see your peacock, got, got.
I want to see your peacock, got,
got. Time for sports.
Peacock, got, got.
Devin Peacock is our sports guy. He joins us in studio. Bob Cole, what a life, what a legacy.
An absolute legend. When you think about him and the incredible career he had, starting in 1969, going until 2019, he was the voice of hockey for so many people, and he had this cadence to him. You just, even like a random game in November or February that he was calling, if it was exciting and the action was ramping up, he made a game that's ordinary special.
Yeah, and the utmost respect from so many players, coaches, and anyone involved in professional hockey for decades. Condolences to Bob Cole's family, friends, and all those who were fans of listening to him call hockey games. There's a big one coming up on Saturday night. Is this a must-win for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
It is. They could pull off the semi-impossible if they lose and then have to win three straight. But the prospect of winning three straight against the Boston Bruins, two of which would be on the road in that scenario, is a real difficult one. They have got to score on the power play. They've had so many opportunities. I mean, we talked about this after game three. Yes, there were some calls that went against them. They probably could have had some calls go their way, but the real reason they lost was the power play. They have got to start making the most of their chances, and they have not done that so far. I was thinking, you know, when you look back to last season and this season, one of the big storylines from the Leafs last year was they finally got some offense from their defense with Morgan Rielly, you know, chipping in some goals. That would be nice to see again. The Leafs are a team that gets so much offense from their forwards only, not their defense. They need to have the McCabes of the world, the Rielly's of the world, the Liljegrens of the world chipping in offense.
Doesn't look like Nylander's going to be playing. We do know what has been bothering him over the past few weeks.
Yeah, a lot of speculation, and Elliot Friedman reporting that it's severe migraines that have kept him out. They were so severe, the medical team for the Leafs tested him for a concussion, and it was inconclusive. So they don't know exactly what is behind this, what's going on here. He is an open question as for game four. At this point, I would have to say probably not. However, he was taking line rushes the other day. So he seems to be hopefully close. But for anyone who's had like really bad migraines, and I have not, they've always said like they could be absolutely debilitating. But I've never heard of it being something this long. So this started Saturday or even before, and now we're almost a week later.
Well, I'm sure he's got the best medical attention that you can get in Toronto. So, fingers crossed, it's not a symptom of something else, right?
He's talked about having migraines in the past, and he was talking about 2 years ago. So he is someone who does suffer historically from migraines. Obviously, nothing this bad because he hasn't missed a game in years, but here we are. The worst possible time for this to happen.
It's going to be something. Leafs versus the Bruins in Toronto. Hockey night in Canada. And I'm sure we'll see a lot of tributes to the man, the voice that made Hockey Night in Canada famous.
Here's Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux.
Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous forum in Montreal. The Canadians win the Stanley Cup.
Rest in peace, Bob Cole. Hamilton, Ontario. There is a listing for an Airbnb. And we've seen like this kind of stuff before. In Toronto recently, we were talking about somebody trying to rent out half their bed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, for rent. You can live with me, but we got to share a queen-size bed.
At least it was a queen-size.
That's true. This is in the same vein here. There's a listing, $700 a month in Hamilton to sleep inside a tent in a living room.
So you are inside.
You're indoors, but you're renting a tent inside a living room at the house. You also will have access to the kitchen.
Okay.
But you will be sleeping in a tent, and it looks like there's at least three tents in the listing that have been pitched in this living room. So you're going to be sleeping in a tent next to someone else who's also paying $720 a month to have their own tent inside this Airbnb.
On hardwood floor.
Now, the owner of the Airbnb said they posted this as a joke, but they got so many inquiries, they're going to actually do it.
That's crazy. I wonder do you think that's true or if he was just testing the water?
It's an easy way. Oh, it was just a joke, but there seems to be demand, so we're going to do it. It's not a joke anymore.
But seriously,
we're going to rent out tents in a living room.
That's $2,100 a month.
And that's before you get into renting bedrooms out.
Yeah. They're probably already rented out. The upstairs already filled with tenants. Man. That is nuts, man. And you know what? I believe that they are getting inquiries. $700, you cannot get a better deal than that. Some people are in a tight spot.
The bylaw people in Hamilton are looking into this. Good. It would appear the listing provided may not comply with the provisions set out within the city's short-term rental bylaw.
Imagine if it did fit all the parameters. They need a new charter.
Well, imagine living in a neighborhood and unbeknownst to you, you've got a tent city opening up in the house next door.
Oh, yeah. I love these houses that there's one in every other neighborhood where they're like, how many people are living in this house? There's so many of these homes. It's like, okay, there's always seven cars in the laneway.
Right.
And I see so many different guys
going
in.
You never see
the
same person coming in or going out of the house.
Yeah.
Each tent will have a lock on it so you can keep your belongings safely in the tent because it's very difficult to break into a tent, right?
Yeah.
You can secure your items within the tent. I just hope that they don't have a knife or a piece of glass, broken piece of glass if they want to get in there. But this is crazy.
Yeah.
It's sad, too. That
it's gotten to this point.
It has gotten to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree that this should be allowed, Jim? Do you think?
Of course not, Taz. Of course not. The only
would you rather this than people pitching tents in public areas like parks, you know, by rivers, wherever it is?
Yeah, I mean, at least it's hidden. But tent or no tent, there's been people piled into homes across Ontario for years now. This is no different than what's already happening.
We're talking about this Airbnb listing in Hamilton, $700. $720 actually a month. You can rent a tent that has been pitched in a living room of a home. So you will be living in a tent and there'll be at least two other tents, judging by these pictures in the ad, next to you in the living room. We got a couple of comments here, text messages, 1-833 Taz and Jim. I've heard of having tenants, but tentants? It's a nice pun. Hey, Taz and Jim. Are the tents nice? Is it like glamping? Not really.
Yeah.
It looks like just your standard tent you'd buy at Walmart. Or
yeah, like a one-man, you know.
Canadian Tire?
There's not a lot of room.
There is a bed, according to the owner of the indoor tent city. There is a bed in the tent. So a full mattress and nice pillows. Good. Otherwise, it would be a ripoff.
Yeah, well, that makes sense now. Oh, I didn't know you get a foam mattress.
Tracy sent us a message, a reminder about how awful it would be to be sleeping next to somebody else in a living room in a tent. She says, hey, guys, about 25 years ago, I rented half of a living room. All we had was a curtain nailed to the wall to separate us.
Wow.
I had to listen to the person behind me all the time. They would listen to porn on the highest volume. It was horrible, but I was in a desperate situation. I lived there for almost a year.
That's aggressive.
I currently live in Hamilton, and I think the tent story is so ridiculous. Jerk move. Unless you think you're connected to Bluetooth and...
Like your headphones must not be plugged right. in, but it's so loud you think that they're plugged in.
To listen to porn at the highest volume when you just have a curtain or someone's sleeping in a tent next to you.
It's like you're hoping they're going to knock on the curtain and say, can I come in?
Hello.
Yeah, what do you got going on over here?
What are you watching? I think I've seen that one. Jim, do you enjoy a bottle of Perrier every once in a while?
Never.
You don't drink the sparkling water?
Never.
No. When you go to a restaurant, they say, would you like sparkling or flat? You always say flat.
I've never been asked. I'm not going to the right restaurant. Seriously.
Would you like sparkling water or flat water?
I really don't get the appeal.
Do you have a soda stream at home?
No, no. Huh. I have a friend who would always drink that water, and it would just, it doesn't taste good to me, or it just tastes odd. And it would always like explode. Every time she would open it, it would fizz up and bubble everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So it actually bothers me.
My wife's cousins from Ukraine, when they were staying with us, they drank a ton of sparkling water. Was like all they drank. They didn't really drink flat water often.
Was it because it was like a delicacy because they didn't have it in Ukraine, or they had so much of it in Ukraine that they're very used to
it? I think they drink it more regularly over in Europe.
Huh.
Anyways, if you are a Perrier person, be warned. The company was ordered to destroy 2 million bottles of water after fecal bacteria was discovered in one of the wells that the water was coming from in southern France.
That's where the bubbles come from?
That's
what it is?
It's the poop. They've been Perrier, using the well since 1903, so that's over 100 years they've been bottling this water, but they have discovered the fecal bacteria. They say the well is being reinforced, whatever that means, and they will resume using it at the appropriate time under the control of the authorities. They also say it most likely your Perrier is fine if you have been drinking it. If you've noticed it tastes like crap, then you might want to dump it out. But they say... They say it's probably fine. This is just precautionary. Huh.
I don't know. Perrier, more like derriere. Am I right? I don't know French that well, but I know that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Derriere. Perrier. They always talk about like, oh, the water comes. I don't really get too excited. Like, the water comes from this spring. Oh, it's the best water.
The Rocky Mountain spring water.
That's right. It's been rolling down the mountains, and then we stand there with a bucket at the bottom, collect it, and make your beer.
I'd get excited if it actually did come from that, but I don't believe it does. I feel like maybe it used to,
It does, isn't water... Water?
It is kind of, but at least there's a story behind it.
And you're filtering it, I hope.
Yeah.
Even no matter where it comes from. But if the Perrier tastes a little off today, that could be it. Let's get serious for a second. This weekend in the workplace, a big day coming up. Sunday, Jim, we got a message from one of our listeners who wanted to share this.
Yes. Paul McCray, good morning, boys. Wanted to let you know that Sunday is the day of mourning, recognizing all the workers who have passed or been severely injured on the job. We are observing it today at Stelco. Just wondering if you can give a shout out to all of us workers. Everyone stay safe and return home at the end of their shift. Thanks, boys.
100%. No job is worth losing your life over or getting seriously injured.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it happens. My grandpa died on the job.
Did he?
Back in the 70s, yeah.
You've never told me this.
Have I not?
No.
So my dad was like 16 at the time, and my grandpa, who I never met because he died back in the day, was running a bridge building company with his brothers, like just a small outfit in the rural Ontario. And there was an overhead wire over top of this rural road, and it was supposedly shut off because they get like it's decommissioned shut off when you're doing like the demolition and everything so that you don't touch it. But for whatever reason, it didn't get shut off and it was supposed to be shut off.
Did he touch it on purpose or accidentally?
No, he was like in a hi-ho and he spun around and the bucket touched it and it was over. So, yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it happens quick.
It does. Make sure you're safe. If you question anything on the job site, if you're not sure about anything, especially when you're a new employee and you're trying to impress everybody and you don't want to look stupid, so maybe you don't want to ask questions, always ask the questions. Nobody's going to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to be safe and you want to make sure that you get home to your family at the end of the work day. The day of mourning is coming up on Sunday. And a shout out to everyone at Stelco and everyone else who's working on the job site today, anywhere across the Taz and Jim listening area.
And now, the winner is Devin Peacock.
I want to see you peacock.
Time for sports. Devin Peacock is our sports guy. He joins us. The NFL draft is underway in Detroit City. And holy moly, did you see the number of people that turned out?
275,000 people. It was a massive turnout in Detroit.
First thing I thought of, Jim, when I saw that huge crowd, people up front, if they go to the bathroom, they're going to lose their spots. That is a total adult diaper event.
Oh, my God.
You got to diaper up. Basically, once your team picks, though, you can roam freely after that and just have a good old time.
As expected, here was the number one pick.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
Was it the right move for the Chicago Bears?
Absolutely. He is the best quarterback in the draft, best prospect anyway. We'll see what time tells in terms of his career. But for the Chicago Bears, they need a quarterback, they need a stud, and they got one in Caleb Williams. They also drafted one of the best wide receivers in the draft with the 9th overall pick because, again, this pick is the result of the trade they made before with the Carolina Panthers, who could have been drafting Caleb Williams first overall. So Chicago got two top 10 picks last night.
Chicago, they weren't a great team last season, but they did have some surprising moments where the team played very well against some opponents that were expected to destroy them.
Absolutely. If you're a Bears fan looking at the season moving forward, looking at the next 5 years plus 10 years, if this works out, they could be set up in a big, big way. It was a big night for quarterbacks. 6 quarterbacks were taken. J.J. McCarthy from Michigan going to Minnesota. So if you're a Detroit Lions fan, you're looking around the division. You got J.J. McCarthy now in Minnesota, Caleb Williams now in Chicago, Jordan Love back for another year in Green Bay. That's going to be a really interesting division. The weirdest choice of the entire draft, though, was the Atlanta Falcons. They just signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million contract. Then they drafted a quarterback in the first round, 8th overall. He did not know they were going to draft a quarterback in the first round at all. The quarterback is also like Michael Penix Jr. He's 24 years old. So are you going to have him sit for 2 years behind Cousins? Like, why are you...
Could it be trade bait?
First round picks are like cars. They lose their value almost immediately after they go off the lot. So, I mean, you could trade... You could trade one of these guys, but it's going to be, you're not going to get the value you would have otherwise had. And there was a ton of great offensive talent they could have drafted to complement Cousins rather than to have a backup. It was just a really, really, really weird selection.
Maybe there's something going on with Cousins we don't know about.
Cousins seemed a little annoyed.
He probably got a phone call on the golf course and was like, oh, God, I got to go back to the gym now. I got somebody nipping at my heels.
He found out while they were making the pick that it was happening. So the communication is something you got to look at in the Falcons organization in terms of what's going on. Another odd selection or decision, in the first round was the Buffalo Bills. They traded out. They had the 28th overall pick. Everyone's thinking they're going to draft a wide receiver. Instead, they trade with the Kansas City Chiefs of all teams, and the Chiefs then selected Xavier Worthy, who set records at the Combine for his 40 time. So he is a speedster going to Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. We've seen this before, Tyreek Hill. The Buffalo Bills trade down to 32. Then they trade out of the first round. Every time they traded out, the team that traded in selected a wide receiver, and the Buffalo Bills need a wide receiver. So they must have a plan. They have the first pick in the second round, but a lot of good wide receivers just went off the board.
The NFL draft continues today. If you're heading to Detroit, make sure you bring your adult diapers. Thanks, Dev.